Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken in time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
On a give for the all-time leading rusher for the Niners, Stephon Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40, couple of tight ends, receiver right to Adrian. Handoff Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30, to the 20, inside the 10. Touchdown!
First down and 10, Johnson gets a shoulder square. Watch out! He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown!
Welcome in to episode 21 of Grinding the Edge here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa, and you can also find me on Discord at KoopaTroopa8. If you haven't joined the South Harmon Discord, you need to. Go to patreon.com/South Harmon, and for literally $1 a month, you can get into the Discord. If you sign up for $8 a month, you get access to the pregame pooper tier where we have the Wrinkled Brains channel where we share some of the data that we use for episodes where Barry, he does all sorts of awesome analysis. You'll see some stuff shared there as well. Being part of the Discord is such a huge benefit to find like-minded people to talk to about fantasy football at all times of the day. We have a new sponsor here at South Harmon, and that sponsor is Manscaped. If you go to manscaped.com and you use the promo code SHFF20, you can get 20% off and free shipping on any of the Manscaped products. Whether you're looking for a head trimmer, a groin trimmer, or even their crop preserver, anti-chafing ball deodorant, you can get it all 20% off with free shipping using the code SHFF20 at checkout. Go down to the show description and click on the referral link. It will automatically be applied for you, so you don't even need to think about it. So go down in the description or use code SHFF20 at checkout. Get yourself 20% off. This week's episode started out in one direction and then took a shift as I was doing the data analysis. So I'm going to bring you along the ride with me. So the initial topic of this episode was going to be why you want rookie quarterbacks and the value that they hold over 1 year. So this discussion has happened quite a few times. So we've talked about it in the South Harmon crew about how if you have a quarterback that was drafted in round one of the NFL draft, they essentially get a pass no matter how bad their year one was, and especially if they didn't even start year one. The value retention is there, and you can always get out after 1 year, worst case scenario. And I decided I wanted to see how that extended not only to the top tier of players, but also to those that were not drafted in round one of the NFL draft. I wanted to include rounds 2 through 7, and I want to see, hey, how do those guys hold up after a year? My methodology for this is going to keep trade cut and comparing the value of every single player in mid-August from 2020 to 2021, 2021 to 2 to 3, and 3 to 4 for each respective draft class. Let's start with that 2020 draft class, which we remember as having really good quarterbacks at the top and see how everyone else fared. So, starting at the very top, Joe Burrow, quarterback 7 in August of 2020, he went to quarterback 8 after 1 year. More than fine. We like to see that value retention. Tua Tagovailoa, quarterback 10 to quarterback 15. More value retention. Justin Herbert, quarterback 22 to quarterback 4. He was unexpectedly the starter for week 1, and he showed that he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Well deserving of that. Jordan Love, quarterback 30 to quarterback 30. He was still a round 1 drafted quarterback, but notice how his value didn't change at all. He's retained all of his value. He didn't go up or down despite never playing a snap, despite his situation not changing with Aaron Rodgers still there. It was simply riding entirely on the fact that he is a rookie quarterback who is drafted in round 1. Jalen Hurts, quarterback 35 to quarterback 15. Value went up because he all of a sudden became the starter in Philadelphia. And now we get into the guys that we don't know as well. Jacob Eason. He started in August of 2020 at quarterback 39, and 1 year later, he was quarterback 40. James Morgan. He was quarterback 66 his rookie year, and 1 year later, quarterback 54. Jake Fromm. Rookie year, quarterback 50. 1 year later, quarterback 53. Jake Luton. His rookie year, quarterback 61, and then 1 year later, quarterback 54. Cole McDonald, quarterback 60, 1 year later, quarterback 55. I have no data on Ben DiNucci or Tommy Stevens. Apparently, they were not high enough in order to be ranked on Keep Trade Cut at the time. And the last one is Nate Stanley, quarterback 61 his rookie year, and then quarterback 57 1 year later. So, what do we notice from this? We notice a trend that all of these quarterbacks were drafted in the NFL draft, and they were valued as backup quarterbacks. 1 year later, they were still valued as backup quarterbacks. They did not lose value. If anything, they were basically the exact same as they were a year prior. And that's something that is really important when you're talking about a rebuilding team. What do you want? You want to have players that are going to hold their value year over year. And ideally, you have the chance for them to spike in value that you can capitalize on it. And backup quarterbacks are exactly what you're looking for. So looking at this 2020 draft class, every single one of these quarterbacks, it was a good value just simply to have them. A year later, the value did not go down significantly, and it was totally fine across the board. And all these backups, you had the opportunity to sell when they had a brief opportunity to start, when there was some hype during the season, etc. So let's take a look at 2021. 2021, similar story at the top. Trevor Lawrence came in as quarterback 6. Beginning of the following year, he was quarterback 11. Zach Wilson came in as quarterback 11. The following year, quarterback 19. Trey Lance came in at quarterback 9. 1 year later, after not playing, quarterback 8. Justin Fields, quarterback 11. 1 year later, quarterback 13. Mac Jones, quarterback 20. 1 year later, quarterback 18. So all of these guys, the ones that we were expecting to be starting quarterbacks, all of them retained their value in the starting quarterback range. As a rebuilder or a team that just wants to retain value, that is exactly what we're looking for yet again. So let's take a look at the quarterbacks from the 2021 class that were not in that top range. The first one is Kyle Trask. He started out in August of his rookie year at quarterback 37, and 1 year later, he was quarterback 43. Kellen Mond, quarterback 34, and 1 year later, quarterback 46. Davis Mills, quarterback 41, and then 1 year later was quarterback 22, because now he was the starting quarterback in Houston. Ian Book, quarterback 50, to quarterback 56, and then Sam Ellinger, quarterback 48, to quarterback 53. So once again, all of our backup quarterbacks, they were still in the backup quarterback range 1 year later. They did not lose very much value. And in fact, we had one who, Davis Mills, who had the opportunity a year later, was actually able to accrue a lot of value. And so he was somebody that you could sell for a nice, healthy profit. And this is in addition to all of these other quarterbacks had the opportunity to be sold during the season at times. And so you would be able to get some value out of them in the middle of the year. In 2022, we only had one quarterback that fit the "this guy's definitely a starter" mold, and that was Kenny Pickett. He started out in August at quarterback 21, and 1 year later, he was quarterback 18. He didn't do too much his rookie year, but he still improved in value. As for all the guys that were not round one quarterbacks, we had Desmond Ridder. He started out at quarterback 31, and he, 1 year later, was quarterback 28. Malik Willis, he was quarterback 27 in August of his rookie year, and 1 year later, he was quarterback 41. However, he peaked up at quarterback 20. There was a clear time that you could sell. Matt Corral, he started at quarterback 36, and the following year, he was quarterback 64. He's one of the first quarterbacks that we've seen that I've been talking about who actually went downhill consistently over the course of his rookie year. Bailey Zappe, he was quarterback 52, and 1 year later, he was quarterback 42. He peaked at quarterback 30 when he was starting during the season. You could have gotten some value from him there. Sam Howell, he was quarterback 38 his rookie year, and 1 year later, he was quarterback 28. Chris Olatokun, his rookie year, he was quarterback 56, 1 year later, quarterback 69. He started out so far down, and wasn't even aware that he had made a team, like actually been a backup quarterback. So the fact that he retained as much value as he did, I thought was quite impressive. Skylar Thompson, quarterback 57, 1 year later, he was quarterback 55. This was despite him never being the actual backup quarterback on the Miami Dolphins. Brock Purdy, quarterback 56, and then 1 year later, quarterback 20. Obviously, he had a meteoric rise due to his rookie season, and even now he's higher than quarterback 20. So he's a bit of an outlier here. But what we see here in 2022 is a similar thing. The only quarterback that was kind of interesting was the fact that Matt Corral went down consistently. He did not retain his value, and just as the year went on and on, it just became worse and worse for him. So let's take a look at 2023. And this is where I said, doing the research, this took a little bit of a twist. So we start with Bryce Young. He started out at quarterback 10, and then 1 year later, he was at quarterback 21. This is the largest drop in terms of overall value out of any of the quarterbacks that we've looked at. The largest before this was Zach Wilson's quarterback 11 to quarterback 19. So we're seeing that fantasy managers are getting a little bit more skittish. Already at the top, when somebody doesn't do well, they will fall further. And that's what we see here out of Bryce Young. CJ Stroud, he went quarterback 12 to quarterback 3. He had a great rookie year, and much like in the same way that we saw from Justin Herbert going from quarterback 22 to quarterback 4, if you have a really good year as a rookie, you can get up into that top 3, 4, 5 range. Anthony Richardson went from quarterback 9 to quarterback 7. He only appeared in 4 games, but everyone loved those games so much that he actually gained value coming into this next year. However, we haven't seen too much of him. And so this is a situation where, as somebody that was just trying to accrue value, you got exactly what you needed out of Anthony Richardson. Without having to go to draft capital, you got yourself a quarterback to, and more specifically, a player that ate a lot of value and retained all of it. Will Levis, he went from quarterback 30 to quarterback 24. Simply by virtue of becoming the starting quarterback, and he had an okay portion of the season, he was able to gain some value. So those are all the guys that we considered taking in the top part of our drafts last year. And now I want to look at the guys that we weren't doing that to. We have Hendon Hooker. He was started out as quarterback 33, and then he fell a little bit to quarterback 41. Jake Haener, quarterback 54, fell all the way to quarterback 84. Stetson Bennett started at quarterback 38 and then fell to quarterback 58. Aiden O'Connell started at quarterback 51, and now that he's in contention for the starting job in Las Vegas, he's only at quarterback 38. Clayton Tune started at quarterback 46 and fell all the way to quarterback 80. Dorian Thompson-Robinson started at quarterback 46 and a year later is at quarterback 51. Even when he was starting for the Browns, his peak was only up at quarterback 32. Sean Clifford, he started last year at quarterback 70, and 1 year later, he's made it all the way up to down to quarterback 75. Despite being the backup quarterback for Green Bay for an entire year, because of the drafting of Michael Pratt, everyone is still scared of him. Jaren Hall, quarterback 62, fell to quarterback 88. Tanner McKee literally never even got on Keep Trade Cut. Nobody was interested enough in him. And the last player, Max Duggan, quarterback 59, fell to quarterback 83. The important thing that I'm looking at out of this data is the number of players that fell or just were entirely outside of the range of the top 64 quarterbacks. You would expect that when you're looking at values of players, that, okay, the top 32 quarterbacks are going to be the guys that are starting, and then the next 32 are going to be the backups, because every team is going to have two quarterbacks in any week, and as soon as that quarterback becomes the starter, because there is so much scarcity at the quarterback position, you are going to want them. However, what I'm seeing in the 2023 landscape is that we are not giving these kinds of passes to the rookie quarterbacks from previous years. We're seeing that, hey, Stetson Bennett, he went from 38 to 58. We didn't see drops like that in previous years. Clayton Tune went from 46 all the way to 80 as soon as he got passed over it being the backup quarterback in Arizona. We're seeing that Sean Clifford just never got into the top 64 quarterback range despite being the backup in Green Bay. Jaren Hall was barely in that backup range, and then he dropped entirely out of it 1 year later. Same with Max Duggan, barely in the backup range and completely dropped out. So we are not giving these passes to these young rookie quarterbacks anymore. We're looking for those immediate results. And I think some of this also has to do with how we are valuing the other quarterbacks. When you think about the rookies and the fact that every rookie class and the class before were all taking up a bunch of these spots in the quarterback 40 to 60 range, or even as high as like the quarterback 30, basically that whole backup area, you were looking at every year like 15 of those being either guys from the previous class or the incoming class. Now that we're looking at backup quarterbacks with a lot more scrutiny, we're seeing that these backup quarterbacks that are more veteran types, that are sticking around on your teams, your guys like your Andy Daltons, your guys like your Mike Whites, your Marcus Mariotas, even your Cooper Rushes, all those guys are all actually going above all these rookies because we know the roles that they're going to have on their team. We know that they are one injury away from being a starting quarterback in the NFL. Previously, you'd find those guys on waivers, and now you aren't. Those guys are actually being valued, and it's not just a, hey, I'm valuing this guy and just not letting him be on waivers. We're seeing that we're valuing those guys over the rookie quarterbacks, unless those rookie quarterbacks show anything. And they need to show something for us in order to retain their value. Even the top tier. Bryce Young was the only rookie quarterback last year that did not show what we were expecting them to show. And he suffered the most out of any quarterbacks for as long as Keep Trade Cut has been collecting data. So what do we learn from this? We learn that the strategy of drafting a bunch of rookie quarterbacks and then holding on to them for a year or potentially longer just doesn't work anymore. We're going to need to be more aggressive on making sure we're taking advantage of the peaks of value, making sure that, hey, somebody that is doing really well, we need to sell when they are on that rising edge. Sometimes you may be inclined to hold. And yeah, if you sold on the rising edge of CJ Stroud last year, you don't have him at quarterback three right now. However, you don't necessarily always want to have a player at quarterback three, like when they're at their absolute peak, because CJ Stroud doesn't have more ceiling to go to. Instead, if you have a rookie quarterback who's doing really well, he's seeing that value spike, you take advantage of that value, get yourself a veteran quarterback that is giving you similar production, and you take advantage of the fact that you have a rookie quarterback who is just having a bunch of value because they're young. You just need to take advantage of the value that is handed to you because of age. And the backup quarterbacks, in previous years, you would draft all these young rookie quarterbacks and you'd hold on to them, and they would still have some value a year later. We're seeing now that that's not something that you want to be doing. You don't want to hold on to these rookie quarterbacks just because they're a rookie quarterback. You want to make sure that they have a role on their team. They still need to be the backup. They still need to be somebody who actually has a lot of value to your team, because you can see the path to them easily making your lineup and not just being a roster clogger. This is a symptom of all of the things that we've seen happening in the dynasty space and even the fantasy football space as a whole. People are becoming more efficient. They're understanding not only the players at the top and what their values are, but especially the players at the bottom. They're understanding that their benches can be extremely valuable if used correctly. And this is just another symptom of that fact. So what am I going to be doing, and how does this change what I'm looking at? Luckily, I wasn't too invested in any of the rookie quarterbacks from this year. I have a lot of the round one quarterbacks, and I'm going to be a little bit more aggressive on selling them when they have good news. If I have a bunch of Bo Nix, he just got named the starter. That might be a little bump that just, like, without any game time, can I just sell Bo Nix right now? Can I get a little bit extra more than I paid for him and turn it into something else for my team? But this year was a unique year where we didn't have many backup quarterbacks go. We only had Spencer Rattler, Jordan Travis, Joe Milton, Devin Leary, and Michael Pratt. Well, what we're looking at is that all of these guys, we need them to be the backup quarterback. Right now, we're looking at guys like Jake Haener versus Spencer Rattler. We want to know which one's going to be the backup quarterback on the Saints, and that person is going to get vaulted into that second tier of quarterbacks conversation, in that 33 to 64. We're looking at the Jordan Travis on the Jets. Is he able to make the roster? Do the Jets let him go to waivers where anybody can claim him and then try to sign him on the practice squad? If that happens, you just need to get out, and you need to rely on the fact that Tyrod Taylor is going to be the backup. Joe Milton on the Patriots, if he beats out Bailey Zappe, sure, we're interested. But if he doesn't do that, we don't want to overly invest in him. In fact, we just want to get rid of him and go back to our Bailey Zappes. Devin Leary on the Ravens, can he beat out Josh Johnson? That might be possible, but we need to see exactly how that works out. And finally, with Michael Pratt on the Packers, he's going up against Sean Clifford. One of those two is going to be the backup, and we need to figure out which one it is. And whichever one it is the one we're interested in. So I'm going to be a lot more aggressive about adding and dropping quarterbacks. Right now, I have a lot of extra quarterbacks rostered because of some of these battles for the backup quarterback jobs. But as soon as we get to the season, as soon as we know who our number ones and number twos are everywhere, you need to get rid of that quarterback three. You don't want to hold on to that Skylar Thompson for multiple years, because that Skylar Thompson from years ago, he held value back then, but now he's going to get dumped in 1 year. Whoever that Skylar Thompson type is, whether that's Devin Leary, whether that's your Michael Pratt, whether that's even your Jordan Travis, 1 year later, he's going to be forgotten unless he's back winning a backup job. So that's the sort of thing that you need to do. You need to churn those quarterbacks more than you used to in the past. And you need to be more efficient, understanding, hey, what is their value right now to their NFL team and to your fantasy team? And if they spike, you need to be aggressive in getting their value out of them. You don't want to hold out and be like, oh, hey, this guy's got the starting job for 4 weeks. If he looks good, I might be able to squeeze maybe an entire second out of him or an extra third. No, just take your value from them now and make sure that you are not sitting there with a lame duck in 1 year from now or in 6 months later from that moment or whatever. If they happen to find themselves starting for a week, if you are not competing, you need to get them to a competitor. You need to get them to somebody that's actually going to use them and has the ability to give you something that you're more interested in. Even if it's like a third from 3 years out, it does you no good to hold on to any of these players because they're not having the shelf life that they used to have, and you don't have multiple opportunities to get out. The same thing goes with the rookie quarterbacks. When you're looking at the top tier, we are not as inclined to give them a pass. The only one who might get a pass might be Michael Penix because he won't start, because we know Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback and we fully expect that he's not going to have an opportunity. JJ McCarthy being out the season with injury as well is going to give him a little bit of a pass too. But the other four, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and Bo Nix, we're going to be very sensitive to how good they are from a production standpoint and also for their NFL teams. If it's not looking good for them, their value is going to plummet a lot further than we're used to in the past. We're very much looking at everything from a, what can this player do for me now? And we've talked about that a lot in other podcasts, in other shows, where we're looking at dynasty in a redraft mindset. And the value of players is heavily tied to their production right now. So that's the sort of thing that we need to pay attention to with all these guys as well, is that all of these rookie quarterbacks that used to hold value, they don't anymore. And so we need to react to that, and we need to make sure we aren't holding onto them and that we are not wasting time with players who could be replaced with somebody else on our rosters who has a different chance to give us something beneficial. And maybe for those guys that do spike, you can head over to our sponsor Ultimate Autographs and you can get some signed sports memorabilia. If you go to signed shit, that's signed sh.it, and use the code HARMAN15 at checkout, you can get 15% off of your order. Once again, to go to signed shit, signed sh.it, and use the code HARMAN15 at checkout to get 15% off of amazing sports memorabilia. That's all I have for you this week. Next week, we will be getting ever closer to the season, and we'll be transitioning a little bit more into how we're going to analyze the markets week by week, and how we're going to, throughout the season, make sure that we're staying sharp and keep grinding that edge.